Brother Larry said that he was glad I saw the note, but I didn't see it. My wife very graciously pointed it out to me. I was unaware of the note and possibly would not have seen it had she not come into the living room and said, "Joe, did you see the note on the bedroom door?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, you better take a look at it." So I went in there and read it and just stood there stunned for a little while because I was quite tired. And I thought, well, you know, it looks like someone's trying to put me to work, you know, and I'm not even here yet. At least that's the way I felt. I felt I wasn't quite here because I was really worn out. I did go into the living room and try to ponder a few things last night. I felt I was quite unsuccessful. And I got up this morning and looked over some scripture again. About a week and a half ago, some thoughts regarding some things recorded in the scriptures, as well as an experience my dad had, some other thoughts began to come to my mind regarding some truths that we perhaps have overlooked, or at least I have, in the scriptures. I have never heard anything in the way of a sermon or a Sunday school lesson a touch upon this subject, and I felt at the time that there surely must be something to it. Now, as I said, this was about a week and a half ago, and it has to do with the subject of color, the various colors in the total color spectrum. And I never had given this much thought, really, up until about a week and a half ago. I am not too sure that my thoughts are very well organized, but I want to try to at least tell you what some of my thoughts have been up to this point regarding this subject. I first want to refer us to the fifth chapter. I'm not going to read anything in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, but I want to comment upon some thoughts that are in there. John was given a vision of certain things, even in heaven. And he saw the great eternal Father sitting on the throne. And he saw in his hand a book. And he was given to understand that this book was sealed with seven seals. And further indication revealed the fact that there was not a single person worthy to open this book, to break the seals, and to read concerning the things written therein. And finally, someone spoke to John and told him that there was one who was worthy. And that further revealment indicated this was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open this book and to break the seals. And then, beginning in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelations, I do want to read somewhat in this chapter, beginning with the first verse. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the voice of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now I have read 8 verses in that chapter. It's not my desire to try to go into the entire meaning of what is represented here. I am using this primarily to lead us into this color scheme that I have in my mind. But I do want to just touch very briefly upon this because I do believe that the color is significant. I want to state that for many years I have had a desire to understand more fully concerning this particular passage of Scripture. I have heard various interpretations, I have read various interpretations and so forth, and I have desired to understand it more fully than I believe that mankind really, I think, has understood. In fact, I think really that there's still a great mystery here that we cannot comprehend. But I do want to touch upon just some of the thoughts that at least have occurred to me. The one thing that is of significance in my mind is that the various animals spoken of here is the same animal, namely a horse. Only the color has changed. Now this is not according to the other things that John was given to see. John was given to see other beasts and animals. Creatures, and they differed in the animal form, and no color, by the way, was even mentioned. But here, it's the same animal in each seal that goes forth. It's always a horse, and he always has a rider. Only the color changes, and I believe that the rider also changes in harmony to fit that color scheme. Upon the first horse, by the way, we know that when he went forth, it was white, and he that sat upon him, this horse had a crown, and he had a bow, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. A crown, we know, is symbolic of rule and authority and power. And white, we know, according to the various things we read in the Scriptures, is symbolic of purity. It would be symbolic of light. It is the lightest color in the color spectrum as we go from black to white. And by the way, the various colors are in this color spectrum are designated to indicate just how white or light they reflect from black to white. This is one item that I want to touch upon a little later. But in this case, this was white. And I believe it's generally understood that when the gospel did go forth, it did go forth in purity, in whiteness, in the light of the world, as Christ indicated he was the light of the world and so forth. We know that soon after the gospel was sent forth upon the earth, certain things came to exist in the church that Christ built to change, shall we say, the color. You know, this is not too unusual that we think in terms of color. We sometimes, as individuals, you know, can show, as commented, sometimes our true color. You know, he showed his true color on this certain day or certain time with respect to his thinking or his attitude and so forth. And so here again, the church begin to change its color. And this, we know that a horse is used for transportation. The gospel is a means of transportation to us from one phase of life to a higher plane in life, and finally to that abundant life in the next world. And so I see a very good symbol in the horse being used here on this occasion. When the color began to change, it changed to red. Now, as we read in our history books, we do know that real early in the church, there began to be killings with the sword. Many of the early apostles were killed. And finally, as we know, in the Roman Empire, they killed many of the saints and so forth. And I do believe that this second seal has to do with the bloodbath that existed for a period of time in our history. Going on down after this, it speaks of the horse that was black. And the individual that sat thereon had a pair of balances in his hand. And he said that there was only a certain amount of food to be had at that time, indicating that there was famine. And it's my belief that we're talking about spiritual food here. It's my belief that this black horse represents the opposite of life in truth, and that certainly this could be very well the period of time when there was gross darkness upon the face of the earth, and as Amos indicated, there would be a famine in the land, not a famine of food and water as we discussed in our Sunday school this morning, but a famine for of hearing the word of God. And so I believe that in this black horse dispensation, when the color changed, there was a situation where that there was very little light, if any, probably no light to be had for general mankind. And certainly the color here is appropriate for that dispensation. On down we have the pale horse. And let me read some of that again. I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name that sat upon him was Death. Now remember, we had just a little earlier in the red horse, and the indication that there was death also involved there. But it's my understanding that there is a great difference in the death that occurred on that occasion as opposed to what is occurring here. And I want to explain that just in a moment when I get down to a particular sentence in this verse 8. The individual that sat on this pale horse was named Death, and hell followed him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death. Now, notice that language. to kill with death. In addition to killing with the sword and with hunger, doesn't it seem strange that this language would be used, that you use death to kill someone? Doesn't that sound strange? That you use the means of death to kill someone. And so I do believe that we're talking about spiritual death and not physical death. And there can be an individual, symbolic of course, riding in a certain dispensation of time that would be an off-white, that would be very pale. Oh, yes, it would be a counterfeit of white, all right. Pale is pretty close to white. And sometimes, you know, if we don't look close, We're just apt to believe that we're looking at something pure. And we do know that there was a dispensation in time when this counterfeit did have reign upon the earth. And that many people, I believe, died as a result of spiritual death killing them. Now, we know that spiritual death is, well, in one definition, is separation from God. We can really, in our lives today, allow spiritual death to kill us, as sad as it may sound. The other thought that I would like to connect with this passage of Scripture, which, by the way, had not occurred until me also until about a week and a half ago, and we were studying in our Sunday school this morning some of the things concerning the life of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt. And the thought that occurred to me when I was thinking of the color scheme of things, the thought that occurred to me was Joseph is known also as the man who had the coat of many colors. And it's my belief that there is some significance in that. We also read in the Book of Mormon, Alma, the 21st chapter, in the beginning at the 56th verse, "Yea, let us remember the words of Jacob before his death, for behold, he saw that a part of the remnant of the coat of Joseph was preserved and had not decayed. And he said, even as this remnant of garment of my son's death hath been preserved, so shall a remnant of the seed of my sons be preserved by the hand of God, and be taken unto himself, while the remainder of the seed of Joseph shall perish, even as the remnant of this garment." And remember that garment was of many colors. Now I want to just throw out some of my thinking here. I do believe that if we really had a full knowledge of what a certain color might represent in its entirety, we could begin to understand why also that we experience these colors in our lives. Sometimes we are discouraged by it, by the way. And yet it is my belief that God, the Eternal Father, wanted us to have a complete knowledge of all of these things. Do we not remember that it was Christ who was willing to die for us, and at the same time, after he died for us, did not want God the Father to make robots out of us, making us to walk the straight line? He was willing for us to choose this day and every day whom we would serve. And it has been my experience in life, and I believe that we all will experience these things. There will be a time in our life when we will experience anger. I'm just going to give some for instances of how we might relate certain things to certain colors. Have you ever heard the expression that he saw red, meaning that he was suddenly angry? Have you ever heard the expression of a person saying, I am blue? I don't know whether you've ever heard that or not. I've heard that expression. Meaning that they're a little depressed or, and so forth and so on. Now, I believe that we can find some indication of how God feels about color by just looking around the earth. When I was in the architectural design school at one time in my life, our instructor just touched upon the theory of color. And of course, some of the things that he told us was that white is the presence of all color. It is the presence of all color. Now, this doesn't mean that we can take the pigment as we know it and can bottle it and can mix it and come up with white. I don't believe that's what he was talking about. But it's the color that we can see, not in pigment form. On the other hand, black, we were told, was the absence of all color. I do believe that in like manner, God wants us, if we are to arrive at some perfect state at some time in our lives, a perfect understanding, having experienced, yes, what we have to experience in our growth, then we will come to experience the blues and the reds, and yes, maybe even the purples. Oh, I don't know what purple means. At one time, the Roman Empire, only royalty could wear the purple. There's indication in the book of Revelations that there may be some significance of truth in that. And of course, there is information in the scriptures that we are supposed to be a royal priesthood and so forth. But what about that? Do we sometimes get to feeling our oath just a little bit? Do we sometimes, have we ever in our lives begin to let pride to any degree well up, thinking we are of ourselves really something at all? And if we do, I believe we can plug in some kind of a color there. There's some color that fits that. And I'm not going to try to say exactly what fits it, but I believe in the color spectrum there is some color that will fit every situation. And so it is my belief that God wanted us to have a knowledge of not only good, but of evil. Because the only way that we can arrive at this whiteness would be to experience the total color spectrum. My dad years ago had an experience in Canada, about 50 years ago, in fact. We know that there's also a promise made by God, and he set a sign in the heavens to remind us of that promise. And what is that promise? That is shaped like this and is of many colors. It's the rainbow. And here again, I find some connection, and really I haven't thought about this subject enough to really just decide what there is in its entirety to it. But I know that there is a great promise in Joseph's seed. Is it not true, as we read and understand the scriptures? And is it not true that this is the man that had the coat of many colors? And is it not true that the rainbow is a sign of God's promise? And is it not true also that this rainbow is made up of the various bands of the color spectrum? Now, we do not have a smooth transition from one to the other, but God has shown us in that rainbow, giving to us a symbol of His promise to us, all of the bands in the color spectrum. And my dad had this experience about 50 years ago. And by the way, if I know anything about, and there's a good chance that I don't really, about a rainbow, it's impossible really to find the end of the rainbow and to actually walk up to it and see that this is where it touches the ground. You remember the old saying, if we could find the end of the rainbow, well, you would find there a pot of gold. If I do have some understanding, I believe that the only way that we can see a rainbow is to be at a certain distance from it. Once we move in closer, that color spectrum that gives us this view of all of that is just that much further away. But I want to tell you an experience that my dad had in Canada about 50 years ago. He saw a rainbow, and it was near a field where he was working. In fact, I believe it was in the far side of this field where it looked like it came down and touched the ground. And it was so near, and he was so curious about this, he began to walk toward that rainbow. And this is what he tells us his experience. He said he walked up to the rainbow and walked right inside it. And he could see the colors of this rainbow on his person. Now, this isn't possible as far as what we know about the understanding of a rainbow. I don't believe that it's possible to do that with men. I don't believe that it's possible. Now, my dad told me that experience several years ago, and he indicated that he didn't really know what it meant. And as far as I know, he died not really knowing what that experience meant. I'm not sure I do, but I have an idea. And the idea didn't come until about a week and a half ago. I believe this, that during my dad's lifetime, he was able to balance to some degree, in as much as humanly possible, he was able to bring into balance, yes, the anger and all of the things that mankind experiences. Not going off on the tangent of the red, the green, or the blue, and among other things, of course, not knowing Job, the man who lived upon the earth, known as the most patient man that ever lived. The most patient man I ever knew my life was my dad. there were things that taxed his patience, and there are things that taxes our patience. There are many things that cause us to be blue or to see red, to be discouraged, to go into this color area or that, and just wander off on a tangent, and suddenly we can't obtain a balance of these colors and apply them to our total person. We tend to go off on tangents and do certain things, and there are times then when we do that we will show our true colors at that particular moment. There is a passage of Scripture which indicates that a good tree cannot bear evil fruit, and likewise, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Any time that in life that we change from one to another, we can be assured that we cannot bear. The story of Peter the Apostle, the 16th chapter of Matthew, I believe. Christ at one point is saying to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hasn't told you who I am. You are blessed, Peter," he said to him, knowing that Peter was a good tree, that perhaps he had a balance of color at that time, and that God could reveal to him certain truths. Reading on down just a little bit, in that same chapter, Christ is telling Peter, "I'm going to have to be delivered into the hands of men, and I'm going to have to suffer, and I'm going to be killed." And you know, Peter suddenly changed his color. While he was just getting ready to like he did at the Garden of Gethsemane, he was ready just to come out with that sword just to fight him, you know. And you know what Christ said to Peter on that occasion? This is in the right near the same conversation. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God, but those that be of men." Now, how suddenly can we change? How suddenly can we change our colors? You remember on the high seas, years ago, this is the way the pirates would do it. They would run up a color, you know, and to steer somebody off on the wrong course, and just before they're ready to move in, you know, maybe they'll put up another color, and then, my goodness, this is an enemy here, see. Colors have meant something through the years. I believe they do mean something in terms of the symbol that God has given us. I do believe that it means something in terms of what we understand here in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, where the color of the horses change. And you know, speaking of this experience that I had with my architectural instructor, he told us a little story one time about a color theory as related to architectural design. He worked one time at an architect's office in Chicago, Illinois. And during this time, the firm which he worked was called upon to redecorate and do some modifications of a large department store, ladies apparel department store in Chicago. And he says that, among other things, what they did in the ladies apparel room there, where they tried on their hats and their dresses and so forth, they changed out all of the mirrors. And they had small mirrors, by the way. And one thing they did, they just made complete curtain-like walls of mirrors all around that place. You didn't have to go up to a little narrow window to see yourself. That was one of the designs they installed in there. They just had curtains of windows all around. Now, he says they decided to go with the blue-tinted mirror. Now, here's what happened. Suddenly, after they had redecorated and spent thousands of dollars upon so doing, it wasn't long until the sales curve began to drop off. And they were losing money. And they were losing customers. And boy, they just couldn't understand it. They spent all of this money redecorating, remodeling. Now, what's happened? We have a nicer place here. We have all this fine carpeting on the floors. We have all these beautiful mirrors, all of these. What has happened? Well, they say they lost quite a bit of money, and they called in this expert and that expert, and finally there was a man came in there, and he says, I think I know what your problem is. Well, what is it? You have used the wrong color tint in your mirrors. You have used a blue tint. What you need to do is rip out all of these mirrors and install mirrors using an orange tinted mirror. He says, now the reason that you have to do this is that a blue tinted mirror will pick up every imperfect blemish on your skin. I don't know whether you've ever observed this or not in mirrors. But you look at yourself in a blue tinted mirror and you lay beside that one of the warm colors, any of the warm colors that's tinted in that mirror, and you will find that some of the blemishes will just smooth right out. And you won't be able to see them at all. In other words, warm tinted mirrors will actually flatter us. And some of the cool tinted mirrors will show us a little more just like we are and won't flatter us a bit. And so anyway, the story goes that just out of desperation, they decided to do this. And sure enough, he spent a lot more money ripping out those mirrors, and he put in those orange tinted mirrors, and the sales picked up again. You see, the people who came in there could see themselves in the mirrors, and the mirrors would flatter them, and they would look nicer in the hat or the dress, and then they would buy it, you see. Okay, let me read a little item that's found in the book of James. The 22nd verse, the first chapter. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You see, there's another kind of mirror, according to what we read here, that we can look into and see what manner of person we are. But you know, if we have the wrong tint in that glass when we're trying to see ourselves, we're just going to flatter ourselves a little. Now that's just the way I figure that it is. But if we will try to use the tint that will show just what manner of people we are, actually take a good look. Now, I'm not talking about Joe Kidd taking a look at any of you. I'm talking about Joe Kidd must take a look at Joe Kidd. And if I don't look close, and if I don't use the proper tint, I'm not going to really see the blemishes. And you know, probably this is the case most often. We do not use the proper tint. And we do not see ourselves. Well, I'm sure we don't see ourselves as God sees us. And certainly we don't see ourselves as others see us. You know, I think it would be interesting if we really knew how others saw us. Chances are, and we would be highly discouraged, I think. I feel I would. And I think in reality, if we really knew just how we're looked upon, now, others see us. They can see our imperfections more than we. But why cannot we see our own imperfections as well and try to do something about it? You know, there's such a thing as, in the physical sense, as being colorblind. And you know, I believe there's such a thing as well in the spiritual sense. We sometimes just refuse to see the colors, or at least we perhaps cannot see the colors. I believe it takes some spiritual strength of some kind in order to see true colors within ourselves or within someone else. God has, I believe, made use of colors through the years to separate nations. I believe there's some significance in that. I believe there's some significance in the fact that he has allowed us to, when our conscience bothers us extremely, for our faces to turn red. This is apparently a part of God's design. Now there have been times when I have blushed. And I really wanted to stop blushing, but the more I tried to stop, I just continued to blush, you know. But you know, I got thinking about that one time, this blushing business. And I thought, well, it's real embarrassing to blush. And sometimes, you know, if we say something we shouldn't say, or do something we shouldn't do, and we get caught in a certain corner or a situation, And we realize what we have done, well, you know, you see all this red, and you can even feel it sometimes, you know. And it's embarrassing. And then I have been embarrassed many times because I have blushed. But, you know, I got to thinking about this one time. I would probably have more reason to be embarrassed if I could not blush. If there was never a situation where I couldn't even blush as a result of something I had done. I don't know whether you recall it in the scriptures or not, but God accused the people one time of not being able to blush. He says, you folks can't even blush. Can we blush? And do we blush? And when was the last time we blushed? And if we didn't, have we had reason to blush and did not? My time is up. I think that there's a few other items here that I could bring out, but what I feel that perhaps I have pulled some things out here and there and have not gotten a very good continuity of thought here, but these thoughts have just occurred to me recently, and I really don't have them all together yet. But I do believe that we can use some of these things that God has revealed to us, that we can apply them to our everyday lives, that we should not be overly discouraged. We should not be overly discouraged that we experience some of the various colors in our lives, knowing that it is wrong. But let us try to balance, at least work on balancing these things in our lives. And I think by so doing, we will be strengthened. We will finally be able to use the combination of all of these things to experience that whiteness that God would have us to experience one day. Thank you.